Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
And you know what you are? You're a bunch of amateurs. That's what Jack Hitt says. And that's what his new book is called, Bunch of Amateurs, A Search for the American Character. He joins us now to explain why we dabble and why he thinks amateurs drive America's success and define our national identity. He's the Peabody Award-winning journalist who's a contributing editor to the New York Times Magazine, Harper's, and public radio's This American Life. Hey, Jack, welcome back to WNYC.
Hey, Brian, how are you?
All right, thanks. What do you mean by amateur? And what do you mean the amateur narrative, which you say is encoded in our national DNA?
Well, amateur just technically means anybody who's not paid, of course. But it also means, once that word crossed the Atlantic and came to America, it became this much more complicated word. If you look it up in the dictionary or in the Rogers, you'll just see it's really just this wonderful sort of nest of contradictions, meaning everything from like a real connoisseur to a complete idiot to just a greenhorn or a novice and everything in between. And I think part of that has to do with the fact that Americans sort of fundamentally in their bones understand that the immigrant narrative sort of sets us up as amateurs, as people who are starting from scratch. And from the very beginning, when you go back and look at Ben Franklin, for example, I mean, his entire life, the paradigm of his life, the template of his life is the sort of quintessential amateur narrative. He dropped out of college, as it were. He broke with his apprenticeship, fled to Philly, and just invented this whole new Ben Franklin. And in some ways, many historians argue, we're all kind of recapitulating that Ben Franklin story.
And so you go from the Ben Franklins and Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, Sergey Brin, Mark Zuckerberg, to, you know, people who are just amateur birders, rogue paleontologists, backyard astronomers, garage inventors inventing things like space elevators and solar-powered cars. So is there a range here from the ultra-successful in a very uniquely American way to dabblers and people who are into wacky stuff?
Yeah, well, you know, the first book you just described is the one my publishers really wanted me to write, the one of all those successful people you mentioned.
Right.
Almost none of them are in this book.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I think they wanted me to sort of, you know, I wanted to sort of just break down the whole process of what amateurism is and then put it all back together and show you what the step-by-step, you know, sort of cascade is that leads you to Stephen Jobism, right? Unfortunately, I don't know. I just got sidetracked by all these non-successful amateurs, the ones that I really found intriguing, the people I liked hanging out with in their garages and their dorm rooms or whatever. And that story it's unfinished. And truth be told, even though, you know, the business schools and others sort of pump out these sort of books from time to time explaining to you how innovation works or entrepreneurialism works, the fact is kind of luck and obsession has a lot more to do with it. I couldn't write that book.
Mm.
What I ended up writing was really more of a kind of travel book where I wound up kind of wandering the country, visiting various amateurs in their, you know, various labs and backyard astronomy outfits and whatever. And really telling their story. There are a couple of real bonehead failures in this book, and I think it goes without saying that most amateurism is very amateurish and is a complete fiasco and a total failure. But most people who are dabbling in the middle, right, are really, I don't know, I find them as kind of a very inspiring kind of character. The people who are in their garages because they can't be anywhere else. They're just too obsessed and in love with what it is that they're doing.
So, listeners, let's hear from you on this. What are you making in your garage? What would you be making in your garage if you had a garage? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692 for Jack Hitt and his book, Bunch of Amateurs, A Search for the American Character. So one example, you write about this heavily tattooed Bay Area woman, Meredith Patterson, who tried to splice a fish's glow-in-the-dark gene into common yogurt with salad spinners in her kitchen. Why is she doing that, and what does it represent?
Well, Meredith is a computer programmer by trade, but has taught herself homebrew bioengineering. And yeah, we all assume that tweaking DNA must be an incredibly complicated matter, and of course it is. But it turns out that a great deal of the equipment and the kind of lab stuff that you need to do it is actually right at your fingertips. So yeah, she did. Her centrifuge was a salad spinner at one point. Her incubator was like an oven from an RV that you plugged into a cigarette lighter kind of deal. There's a number of chemicals that you need to do DNA transfer, and some of them she could derive from shampoos. Another one she derived from a sex lube, et cetera. So a lot of this stuff is down the street at your local pharmacy or sex shop or wherever. So when I met up with her, she was embarked on trying to create she went to a lot of raves in the Bay Area at the time and wanted to create a glow-in-the-dark, necklace that you could consume. So, yeah, we were trying to shoot the glow-in-the-dark plasmid from a jellyfish into a bacterium that we could then nurture into glow-in-the-dark yogurt. Now, okay, mm-hmm. So you're wondering, what's the point of that?
And?
It turns out that this really is emblematic of this the kind of club scene that you're seeing, that you see throughout the last century of American ingenuity. Radio began as a weekend club thing. You had the homebrew computers in the 70s. Robotics is flourishing now. And DIY bio clubs are now popping up. In fact, there was just a story recently in the Times about Manhattan's new DIY bio lab. And all of these guys who are doing this, like Meredith, are associated with a local sort of DIY lab. And this is the new 4-H club, tweaking DNA and creating whole new life forms and new kinds of plants and possibly animals. That is the future of this new club. That's where they're aiming.
Maybe this Meredith Patterson from the Bay Area with the glow-in-the-dark fish gene knows Anand in Manhattan. Anand, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Yes, I'm here. See, we tried to, we built a solar oven, for simple solar oven, which third world countries could use, especially in India, my home country. Mm-hmm. And I cook a meal with that. And it's a simple technology, nothing complicated. But I'm not able to get funding and mass produce it in India so we can save trees and tigers. What do I do?
Well, there's a couple of things you can do. One is, do you know about PetriDish.org or more broadly, Kickstarter? There's a number of amateur-funded crowdsourcing sites on the Internet, and I believe PetriDish.org is specifically for homebrew science projects. Kickstarter, of course, is very generalized, but they do a lot of science there, too. So you might look at those. What's really different about those is that neither one of them, when people contribute to them, you don't get a stake in the company. You don't get anything. So in an interesting way, they're kind of amateur funders for amateur projects, because people just get the satisfaction of having participated in something that they really think is cool.
Andrea in Rockland County. Amateur.
Hi. Hello, are you there?
Yeah, we sure
Hi.
Are.
I connected with the guests saying that the people who are doing these things they're just so motivated they can't stop themselves. And that's my husband, who is Perry Ritter, who has a woodwind repair shop. He repairs saxophones, flutes, and clarinets, and now he's using the materials, the parts, to create art, which is in the form of dinosaurs and wind sculptures, and he can't stop himself.
And they
just
come from the key,
and it's just overflowing with artwork.
And he makes them out of the keys and the mouthpieces,
yes,
and the bells and stuff, mm-hmm, from woodwind instruments.
Yes, all the saxophone parts, the flute parts, and the clarinet parts. And actually, someone from the niche markets had thought of looking at his stuff, so nice. Maybe that'll happen sometime. But yeah, he's just so motivated that they're just coming out of him, and he just won't stop. And it's great. It's just great.
That's really fun.
It's like folk art, I think. This is really a folk art. He never trained, mm-hmm, to
to do this kind of thing. Andrea,
right. Well,
thank you very much.
Folk art, folk art is the amateur version of professional art and outsider art, as we call it. The whole idea of not having gone to school, not being credentialed. You find a kind of amateur version of pretty much any discipline or field that's out there.
Jack Hitt, author of Bunch of Amateurs, A Search for the American Character. And before you go, because you say this is so central to the narrative arc of American history, being a nation of immigrants and things like that, it goes in fits and starts, right? There are surges of amateur verve in this country, and I wonder if you think we're in one right now. There does seem to be the DIY movement all around us and things like that, and whether it has to do with the economic crisis and our country being shaken to the core or the populism of movements like the Tea Party and Occupy.
Absolutely. You know, I just in the book I mentioned that David Packard remodeled his garage in Palo Alto before he died. He and Hewlett went in there in 1939 at the height of the Depression. Steve Jobs and Wozniak went into a Cupertino garage in 1976 during the whip inflation now period of the Gerald Ford years. And so you can already see that there's spikes in patent applications. Even the meager job reports we're getting, for example, in April, we created 119,000 jobs in America, right? How many of those came from big Dow Jones firms, the job creators, as they flatter themselves to be? 4,000, Brian, of the 119,000. Hmm. Well over, almost all of them came from medium, and many, 58,000, from small and startups. So the people coming out of those garages and risking, taking the real risk of starting a business and taking their idea to market, that's where the job creation is. And I think too often the politicians have forced us to look at the country from the top down. Those guys aren't job creators on Wall Street. They're funders. They're very important. But they're not the creative force in this country. That force is in their garages, many of them anyway, right now, in their garages trying to invent the Mark Zuckerberg, Stephen Jobs future.
Last thing, do you think this American impulse bleeds out into other things? Do we like to poke holes in established knowledge, professional knowledge, and question traditional methods, and that's part of our amateur soul?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I have a whole chapter in there about how the Cornell claim of the ivory-billed woodpecker just came falling apart in large part because of amateurs. And look at our own profession. A great deal of professional media has just become, you know, sort of mouthpieces for establishment views and press agents for people in power. And the bloggers swarm the great fortresses of our big media, and we're all living with the very happy result, I think.
Jack Hitt, you know him from his appearances on This American Life or from his articles in the New York Times Magazine and Harper's. His new book is called Bunch of Amateurs, A Search for the American Character. Fascinating, Jack. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. More to come. Stay with us.